high 49. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 37 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning and welcome into the Monday edition of Inside the Locker. 205-342-9904 is the phone number if you'd like to jump in on the show with us this morning. The X-Count at Locker Room 109 at Barry Sanderson at Wimp Sanderson 1. And the email address for the show is wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. Download that app, that Tide 100.9 app. Get that on your smartphone. You can take us with you anywhere you go. We want to thank Yellowwood pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. If you want to build the five-star backyard, Chase, the only choice is Yellowwood. Go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer closest to you. So much to talk about this morning. Oh, my gosh. With all the coaching news going on over the weekend, you almost forgot that Alabama is headed to Atlanta for the SEC championship game. I think it's a beat up Alabama. That game took a lot out of Alabama. Jim Miller went off on crutches, and Ty took a beating in this game, and so we'll see if they have enough to go over there and play well against Georgia. Good morning, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
But it's a stupid game. Alabama's going over to play Georgia 3 o'clock on Saturday. Oklahoma and Ole Miss are going to sit home. Oregon's going to sit home, get themselves ready for Ohio State plays Indiana. For the championship of the SEC doesn't mean jack crap. I think Barry's totally right. If something happens that Georgia's good, they're not as good, but they're good. They're hard to play. They'll be ready to play. And the Alabama-Georgia game is a little bit ridiculous, I think, these other two teams sitting out. Vanderbilt scoring 45 points against Tennessee is something to talk about. Kentucky getting 41 scored against them out from an ACC team, pretty much just quit. Kalen DeBoer going for it on fourth and goal. You kick the field goal, you're not sure it's going to be made. You make them go the length of the field if you don't make it. But whatever you want to call it, he did a good job in getting his football team ready to play. Don't you think it? When Shepherd left, there was all that kind of talk. He's not ready to help Alabama get ready for anything on the recruiting aspect as well. And as he gets ready to take some of the other staff members with him, that's pretty big. So Barry's exactly right. Don't anybody get on here and call this show and talk about Ty Simpson didn't have the kind of game he'd like to have. The game was set to be a defensive game to start the game. Both of these staffs had studied the offense, had ready to play. We knew that the quarterback's going to be a little bit better at Auburn. Alabama was ready to play defensively and did a good job early. Auburn was double ready to play to kill him as best they could. Ty spent half the time when they changed their formation. Some I understand for this game, what I heard. And he had a hard time getting these guys, other guys set so they could run the play. And it got down to 1 to 2 seconds. And he got busted and busted and busted. So don't call in here and tell me anything about the quarterback at Alabama, because he did a good job of handling the thing before whatever made 80,000 people that were for Auburn. So got to give him a lot of credit. So we'll open up your opportunity for you to give us a call and give your opinion. I guess that's what this show is all about. But for Alabama to be playing Georgia and for Lane Kiffin to walk out on his team. The money was a factor, in my opinion. Ole Miss didn't want him to coach the team. I don't blame him. And then be going to LSU. But Lane Kiffin, for every time he's, even when he's with Nick Saban, is an I and a me man. And so that's what happens. A lot of things you can talk about, but I won't try to stay it off with it.
Well, Lane Kiffin, there was so much to get into. Here's the problem. Nick Saban, according to reports, I don't know if I want to use the word told him he should go, but I think he said, hey, that's a better job. Pete Carroll told him, you want to win big, LSU is a better job. So here's two of his mentors that tell him what I think they told him. I didn't hear the conversations, that it's a better job. So Lane Kiffin realizes, if I want to win like Nick Saban did, I got to get to a – they're going to give me $25 million in NIL on top of the $17 million I got for revenue sharing. Here's the problem. The signing date is Wednesday. So if these schools don't hire these coaches immediately, the signing date, the 3rd through the 5th, for guys that are going to enroll early, and the portal window opens up January the 2nd. So if the signing date's Wednesday, I mean, he can't stay back at Ole Miss. And he tried to find a way to let him coach the team. I don't blame Ole Miss for not letting him coach. But at that point, he's got to say, I got to take my guys with me. We got to go recruit. So the system in place is what's so bad. Regardless whether you think he walked out on his team or not, it's a bad system to put these coaches in this position where the signing date's Wednesday. If they're going to take another job and he thinks that's a better job and he's going, then he has to go. Wrong?
Yeah, that's fine. I think it's wrong, but you can say, be sliced any way you want to slice it. I'm not so sure that Nick Saban sat him down and told him anything, but if he did, he did. Arkansas and Auburn get into a fight for the coach. Arkansas's got all the money in the world and could have gotten the guy and didn't do it. You know, but he has a football playoff committee, but he didn't do a very good job. The reason Auburn went with him is because he's an offensive guy, athletic director. I'm hoping John Beon. They needed some good offense. The defensive coach, if he stays, which I think he will, the defense is set. They need somebody to run the offense. This guy's been very, very successful doing that. And so they beat out Arkansas in a head-to-head battle. Arkansas turned to Memphis and took him. How good he is, I can't answer that because I don't know. But they went that direction, and Auburn got the guy that they felt like was the best for them because they needed to get the offense straightened out. So, and they claim that he's a very, very good recruiter. So we'll see what happens. Vanderbilt coach gets coach of the year. And you can go the LSU route any way you want to go as far as discussing it. So it's just a darn shame that Alabama's going into the Georgia game all beat up and have to play against a good team to be able to put on their chest at the SEC champions if they could do that. But it'd be hard to do and affect them for the playoff game.
Yeah, Chase, I was pretty adamant last week if Alabama made it to Atlanta, they were definitely in. I've studied it over the weekend. You better watch these rankings tomorrow. I have to back up what I said. There's no room for them to be in. If that committee ranks Notre Dame ahead of them and BYU beats Texas Tech, you're in trouble. They're in trouble. If they beat Georgia, obviously it's a done deal. You better look to see where they're ranked tomorrow. If they have them at 10, guys, and Notre Dame ahead of them, and BYU beats Texas Tech, then BYU and Texas Tech will go, Alabama will be left out. As crazy as that sounds, you say, well, how in the world? Well, think about it. Let's count them. Ohio State's 1, they're in. Indiana's 2, they're in. Georgia's in. That's three. Oregon's in. That's four. Texas Tech is in. Regardless, is five. Ole Miss is in. Regardless, they're six. Texas A&M's in. They don't play. Oklahoma, I think they're in over beating Alabama. Now it comes down to the ones you're up against. Right now they have Notre Dame ranked ahead of Alabama. Then you have Alabama. Then you have BYU. If BYU gets in, you got to put the winner of the ACC game in. So either Virginia or Duke will be in. And then you got to put the non-Power 5 in. So if BYU gets in, Alabama's out. Afraid. So all that talk I did, unless they rank Alabama, you better look to see where they're ranked. If they rank them 8 or 9 or something like that tomorrow, then they may be okay as long as they play okay. But where I thought there was no way, now these other teams are ahead of Alabama. Will Oklahoma, Dad, go over Alabama with them beating them at Alabama in the 10-2 record?
Well, they've got the correct scenario, and you've got people in there who don't like both of them SEC, but maybe don't like Alabama to start with, and it's going to be close. You're right. I think that's going to be a situation there. Does Oklahoma go ahead of them? Well, head-to-head, they beat them. So I don't know what the head-to-head plays. It plays should be the answer. I hate to say that, but it should be.
So like Texas, Vanderbilt, even Miami, they can forget it. They're not in. Yeah. They're not getting in. No. Steve Sarkisian said whatever he wants. He's not in. And I don't think Miami's going to get in. And I don't think Vanderbilt's going to get in. And I think so. You know, it's easy when you just do four. If they were just doing four, that would, you know, be pretty easy. Ohio State, Indiana, and Georgia, you'd have one spot up when they play the championship game. But and that would probably be either Oregon or Texas Tech or Ole Miss. So where I was just so adamant they would be and they'd make it to Atlanta, I'm not as sure now. And I think the rankings tomorrow will be huge for these teams right there on the back end of this thing. We'll have to see where that lands. All right, we'll take the first break. We'll get to Phillip when we get back. 2 minute truck there at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. Give them a call today. It's 205-247-5050. That's 2 minute truck. Movers who care.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Lurleen Wallace moves at posted speed and between 15th Street and McFarland. And also, if you're transitioning onto 69 north and southbound at Skyland Boulevard, traffic there is pretty wide open. We got 2059 also moving right about. Just be careful. Don't let your guard.
Call the Tom Hanna Agency today for a quote at 205-462-8192 or visit alphainsurance.com/Tom Hanna. Today.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside.
752-7222 or visit them online at catfishheaventuscaloosa.com to check out their menu and order ahead. Catfish Heaven, where every bite feels just right.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
And cool today. The chance of a few spotty showers this afternoon, the high 54. Tonight, widespread rain with the low at 41. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain ending during the morning hours. We stay very cool, the high 49. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 37 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Want to jump into any of the shows? Call Tide 100.9 right now at 205-342-9904.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
That's 205-342-9904.
Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right, the only Alabama can hope maybe is they rank them ahead of Oklahoma tomorrow. So, but they head to head, well, Miami beat Notre Dame, and Notre Dame's ranked ahead of Miami, three spots ahead of Miami. But in my opinion, that BYU-Texas Tech game could determine Alabama's fate.
Texas Tech's going to win that.
Okay. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Phillip?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'll tell you the team, too, that's really got it made in the shade, and that's Texas A&M. They did not play Georgia, did not play Alabama, did not play Ole Miss, did not play Oklahoma, lost to Texas the other night, and Texas is a team that lost to Georgia, and they did not play Vandy. So Texas A&M literally – it hasn't made. And if anybody should be lower in the rankings come this week, it should be Texas A&M.
Yeah, but they're not going to go low enough to be out.
They're not. But I'm just saying that's a problem I've got with the SEC championship game as it stands right now. The game, your first two teams should be excused from going, and that game ought to be a play-in game for somebody like Texas A&M and Oklahoma.
Yeah, maybe you're right. A&M won at Notre Dame. They won at LSU. That's not their fault. LSU's bad. They won at Missouri, which is hard to do. And they, you know, obviously they beat Auburn and Florida. Yeah. And so the teams that were – the problem is when they got out of divisions, when you don't have divisions, then these schedules – and Dad talks about this in basketball all the time – these schedules are all unbalanced. And you get these 18-team leagues like in the Big Ten, yeah, and you get them in the SEC, you're going to have unbalanced schedules these situations.
That's right. These huge conferences are ending up being a problem. And just think about the crying we're going to hear next year when they go to 9 conference games in the SEC.
But at least you're going to 16, you know, in the playoff, it sounds like. So, you know, it wouldn't be quite as hard to do that. When you have 4, it's pretty clear cut who the 4 are when they went to 8, but now the 12. But where I thought there was no way Alabama could be left out, I'm not so sure now as I look at this thing. Because that Virginia or Duke getting in the non-power 4, whatever you call it, getting in. There's 2 spots right there. Now you only have 10, and the heck, 7 of them are locked, dead locks.
Yeah, that's right. I had a feeling you were going to come off that there.
I
sure did. I think the game the other night, guys, I thought the talent discrepancy was not that great. I do think Alabama had the edge on talent, but not by a tremendous amount. Their defensive line was tough, and they just whipped up on Ty all night, and their linebackers were good. Alabama had a hard time getting over that layer right there of defense to get the ball in the air, and just didn't have the time and the organization to get what they wanted done offensively. It was just a very harem scarem type game, and the big key to me, and I wish Alabama could give some more information today or this week, but you know, Kevin Riley's status, I'm not sure what happened to him.
He broke his jaw. Yeah,
and I think I remember the play. It happened in that Eastern Central Illinois game. When I saw that hit to the side of his helmet in that game, I said, "Ooh, man." So I guess he's done then, right?
Yeah, broken jaw. I mean, he may get back later in the playoff, but I mean, he's not gonna be ready this weekend. No.
Yeah. Well, I remember that hit in that game, and when I saw it, I knew it was bad. It was right flush to the side of his head. But it's going to have to be A.K. Deer then, and Daniel Hill, and probably that Dre Washington guy, I would think. It's just unfortunate that, you know, Alabama's in this situation, but they got to make it a positive and go in there with a positive, upbeat frame of mind. You never know. Stranger things have happened. I think the key to beating Georgia is controlling Gunnar Stockton and not letting him break 20, 25, 30-yard runs on you.
Yeah. It's just Alabama just seems like they're so beat up. It's almost – and I'm not – criticizing Ty. It's almost like you need a fresh quarterback out there too, like a guy like Keelan Russell that can escape and run, and just they need a little juice there. You know, like Ty will never run. He's about to run. He did run a few times, but there was a couple times where he could have gotten first downs and he tried to throw. And what a gutsy call by DeBoer. But what I don't understand, when they're down there, it's third down, what was on the 3-yard line? If you're going to go for it, why don't you run it twice down there so they don't make it, and then they end up going for it on fourth down?
My goodness,
that was gutsy. Give them credit.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. So. It really was. And I think Ty, you know, Kirk Herbstreit kept saying, well, you know, Auburn's moving around a lot. They're moving around, changing formations, changing their looks, and it's confusing. Well, you know, what did we think Auburn was going to do? Just stand there?
Yeah.
You know, it was just a tough game, and I've got to get to it'll be quieter and a lot easier Saturday. I can tell you that.
What do you mean quieter?
I mean, as far as the crowd goes.
I don't know about that now. That Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that Georgia crowd in there, it's going to be loud in that. Indoors, indoor for that noise to go.
It won't be near as
bad. And they got Alabama fatigue at Georgia. So.
It won't be near as bad as Auburn. Not near. It's going to be tough, and I know that, but.
But you got to also take into consideration the opponent on the other side. They're going to be tougher than Auburn.
One thing you have to understand is that Georgia, they're not as good as they have been, but they are ready to play every time they play. And
they're
well coached. They're ready to play. Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing. They're not quite as skilled as they have been. Alabama's beat up. It's going to be a hard game.
Yeah.
Branch is going to be our tough guy to defend, too, and their receiver. He's going to be really tough to defend. But, you know, Alabama's in it until they're not in it.
Yeah, I give them credit.
Got to show it.
Thank you, Phillip.
See y'all.
I'm underwhelmed, and I understand why Ole Miss had to do it. They had to try to retain the players, retain as many staff members as they could. But giving Pete Goldie that job officially, he may be a great coach. He is terrible in front of the media.
You got no choice there.
Yeah. Now, they took the money. I guess that Kiffin was going to save them. And they say they went in and doubled all the assistant coaches' salaries. They just went in and doubled their salary to try to keep them. So, all right, let's get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Cowboy?
How you doing, Barry and Coach?
Good, man.
Hey, have you seen the videos of Kiffin leaving Austin? I mean, Oxford, and then when he gets to Baton Rouge, it's like it's a presidential motorcade for him there. It's a strange deal, you know. He wanted to eat it too, and I guess
strange deals. The money they pay the coach that left, and then the money they're paying him. They're doubled up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, both contracts total $138 million.
Yeah.
$138 million, and I would say within 3 years, Kiffin must win a national championship. He must be in the playoffs next year. So, you know, $25 million NIL money per year. You know, they're going to do a Cajun kind of WWF crazy knockout bout and see what they can do. I'll tell you a quarterback I'd keep my eye on for LSU is that freshman kid at California. He's pretty good. He's left-handed. He might be better than Tua with Kiffin's coaching. Keep an eye on him. Kiffin, you know, he's got nothing to do now but just work this portal, work film, watch all kind of quarterbacks across the country. You know, and who knows if Trinidad Chambliss will be down there next year if he can get another year of eligibility.
I know everybody's killing Kiffin. I know Dad's disgusted with him. if he wanted to go to LSU, I don't think there was any other way to do it. I mean, he had to go, right? I mean, and he wanted to coach. I understand why Ole Miss didn't want him to coach. I get all that. But, and I think what took so long, they were trying to figure out a way. He was trying to figure out a way that he could still coach, and they were like, ain't no way, brother. And but I, at the end of the day, if he wanted to take this LSU job, I don't think there's any other way to do it, Cowboy.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe LSU could have held their powder till into the bowl season.
They can't. The signing day is Wednesday.
I guess you're right. Well, that's a problem. They need to start the season earlier or change these signing dates back to February.
Yeah, no, that's who you got to blame, the people that created this mess that don't know anything about recruiting.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's government intervention of college football, and this is what you got.
All right, we got to get to Max. Call us back second hour, Cowboy. I think that BYU Texas Tech game is going to be big for Alabama. You need Texas Tech to win.
Barry, one last thing, and y'all can chew on it. DeBoer going for it. He did that at Washington 2 years ago on his own 27-yard line, 4th and 2. With the game tied against Washington State. So he's going to go for it. That's his M.O.
Yeah, especially if he believes in his defense, and he does. And just give Connor Talty a little credit. Everybody killed him. That guy knocked that field goal in the beginning, and that took a little edge off for Alabama. Yeah. So thank you, Cowboy.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank
you. We'll get to break here. We'll get to Max Howell. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Lurleen Wallace moves at posted speed and between 15th Street and McFarland. And also, if you're transitioning onto 69 north and southbound at Skyland Boulevard, traffic there is pretty wide open. We got 2059 also moving right about. Just be careful. Don't let your
options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back. Push your treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline, former assistant Florida State Ole Miss radio personality throughout the South joins us every Monday to talk college football. Max Howell. Good morning, Max. How are you, buddy?
Good, hey, Max. Guys, hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
You hope you did as well. Go ahead, Dad.
Yeah.
All
right.
Alabama-Georgia game. Is a tough game for Alabama. They're beat up. I think it's a situation where what do you get? You get the SEC trophy. So what? Go ahead.
I think Kirby knows. You know, he knows that. You know, Alabama's got his number. He knows that, and I'll look for them to change the defensive stuff, guys. I really do. It looks to me that Simpson's. I don't know that he's slowed down or not, but he's trying to pick the defenses out. They give him false keys is one of the things they're doing to him. They're putting a spy on him as well. And they hadn't seen that very much before. So I think it's going to be a tough football game. And then I'm assuming Simpson's going to be beat up on top of that. They got to him pretty good the other night. So
terrible.
I think it's going to, you know, it's That score is going to be what is the line? I hadn't even seen it to you.
Well, let's see here. It's Georgia's 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah. Okay, that's the pick 'em game. So anyway, I think I think it's going to be an outstanding football game, and everybody's coming to play. And I watched that defense the other day, though. I watched Auburn was trying to do, and. They finally put a spy on him, I think, in the second half. But they were changing the secondary coverage. And I know Mickey did that when we were at Florida State. we had Deion and Leroy Butler on our corners. And we had a big old safety back there, about 225, that could run like a deer. And we'd show them zone coverage, then fit the man on the snap of the ball, and that worked very well for us in many ball games.
It just, Alabama is beat up. They've got their starting quarterback goes off on crutches. Kevin Riley wasn't even available for this game. Their tight end has a broken foot. Their backup guy was out. I mean, this season has taken its toll. And it's not like, where Nick Saban had all the depth and he would put in a guy and he would end up saying, good gosh, he's better than the one that was playing. All that's right. Transferred out. So these teams aren't as deep as they used to be, are they, Max?
No, they're not. The whole system, though, guys, has changed. We know that. We sit there watching it, week by week. And the kids, I'm not saying they aren't as dedicated. They're motivated by different reasons now, mainly money. I think a lot of those guys come to play. They're going to play hard while they're in there, but, if they need a break, if you notice some of them, they just jog off the field at the end of the play. They're going to take a break on their own sometimes. So it's not as disciplined as it was before. I think the number of great players has been diminished because you got to take what you can get off the portal. And you can't tell me there's a reason those guys go to the portal. They couldn't play where they were. They want to go somewhere where they can play. But it's hard for them to move up. If they aren't playing at a lower level, last year they had 3,400 players in there and only about 2,000, about 1,500 was taken. And another, 1,400 never got a scholarship. So the whole system, is probably going to have to be overhauled before it's over. But we're watching it change right before our eyes.
Aren't you totally shocked? If you woke up and somebody told you that Vanderbilt went to Tennessee and scored 45 points on them, and that Louisville came to Kentucky and they got 40 ACC school, they scored 41 points, and by the way, SEC team did score a point. Is that not too shocking of an event?
It is. Yeah, it is. But like I say, Coach, we're watching it change right before our eyes, And so much of it now is almost week to week. And a lot of that's because, they kind of piecemeal the teams together based on what they could get out of the portal. And a lot of those guys, I just wonder if you check the roster, let's just take Alabama and Auburn this past week, how many Alabama kids that started and played on those teams came off that roster? I guarantee you over half of them transfers in, particularly at Auburn. So see that to me, the rivalry games don't mean quite that much to them, because when they go home, they don't go home to they play it at Auburn. They don't go home to Montgomery, Birmingham. They go to South Dakota or wherever. They don't live it the year round. And I think a lot of that psychological part plays a major role, in particular particularly when you get beat up and in close ball games. They play in snap for snap. At that particular time, they ain't worried about the feelings after the ball game.
One question: I think Auburn beat Arkansas on the coach they wanted. Auburn wanted the offensive guy. Arkansas's got more money than Auburn. I don't know what happened there. Any thoughts on the guy that Auburn got?
Well, I didn't know a whole lot about him. That's going to be interesting, if he can fit. And the Auburn situation to me, and I've been, I go all the way back. My granddad graduated from there back in the 30s, and I go all way back, my family does. And I try to stay, in touch all the way through my coaching career, too. But there's somebody else in that group over there that makes some of the decisions, and I don't know who knows how it gets to that level. But you don't get many leaks out from there about, the direction they're trying to take the university, particularly the athletic program. So, the guy they brought in, I know a little bit about his background, but I don't know anything about, who he's going to bring with him, how they're going to set the program up. The head coach is just basically he's a figurehead there, and of course he'll bring the system with him. But those guys that do the work, those are assistant coaches. I don't know what they could do about a staff. And to me, I always try to look at the staff and see basically, you know, who they brought in that knows the position to make whatever program they're going to put in force over there that it works. And, of course, then you got recruiting coming up. You got signing day coming up Wednesday this week. You got the portal coming up January 2nd. And, I mean, it's I can't say enough. The game has changed so much. It's hard, you know, this early in it, it's hard to really get a grasp on it.
That's Auburn. And they were trying to hire Summerall, but trying to tell him who to hire. And right. You can't hire these guys and tell them who to hire. They just meddle too much. I'm sure this guy will keep DJ Durkin. I don't know. He may do great. If you look at his resume, he was at Tennessee prior to going to South Florida. Sort of an underwhelming hire, to be honest with you.
One of the things that my Summerall went to Florida was that the guys at Auburn wanted to tell him how many people he could keep.
Yeah. And, I mean, are you kidding me?
Florida opened up and said, hey, we'll fire them all or you can keep them all. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave him an open book to do that. And I watched him closely when he was at Troy. He was 23-1 down then in 2 years. And, I mean, he's a good football coach. And he was waiting on the Kentucky job when all this first started. But, you know, they hadn't done anything up there yet. Whether, you know, they're going to either retire him or
no, they fired him last night.
Oh, they did? Okay, yeah. So I didn't see that this morning. But they knew that was coming. But he's already signed. He's already got, you know, people coming to Florida. He'll bring some good people with him. I can tell you, I think he's well liked, and basically he's a solid football coach. And he's not going to do the political game with them down there, but he'll put a good football team on the field.
All right, let's talk about this Lane Kiffin. Have you ever seen a guy be beloved on Saturday to absolutely hated on Friday to absolutely hated? 24 hours later. Now, I'm not as hard on him because I think the signing day is Wednesday. He had to leave. He had this, that, the other. I think Lane Kiffin's ego thought that he could go to LSU but still talk the Ole Miss administration into letting him coach, where he could do both. He could coach in the playoff and still go to the LSU. And when they told him no, he had a temper tantrum. Instead of just saying, hey, I respect it, and I appreciate what you did for me and moving on, I think he threw a temper tantrum trying to find a way that he could do both. And I don't blame Ole Miss, but also don't blame him for leaving immediately, because he's got to get out there and start recruiting and get his staff with him. Just give us your thoughts about the whole thing.
That's very true. Well, I agree. I'm right there with you. Having been on that staff over there, I know a little bit about the inner workings and some of the people involved. And I know they will give him. They had given him everything he wanted up to then, but there's a limit what they can do over there. We talked about it. Yeah, and I know they've got some money. They've raised some more money for him and the things they had to do. But there's a ceiling over there, mainly because of the numbers. And I told you, the first thing I did when I went on the staff over there, Warner Offer was athletic director. I had to figure out the formula of why Ole Miss was like it was. It was quick. We did a background check. Ole Miss has got about 200,000 active boosters and or graduates around the country. LSU and Alabama and those Texas and all, they got 600,000 to 700,000 people that can make contributions. And I mean, it's a pure numbers game. And you know, and LSU, what they give him? They gave him $100 million for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ole Miss couldn't do that. They couldn't do that right there. I mean, they had raised $300 million, guys, to a stadium expansion. And Lane got them to pull part of that money out and put it in NIL. That's why he got those players over there. They didn't have it coming right out of the Grove group that was raising money for them. They could not raise that kind of money right off the bat, so they tapped into that fund. And so what does that do for the stadium? It stays at 65,000, which is the smallest stadium in the conference right now. So, see, it's all circulates around the availability of money. And now when it gets to LSU, we don't know what – I do know that there's a bunch of oil money in that fan base down there where they can – is that what they tap it into? I don't know. But we'll get a chance to see right quick when he gets there.
Yeah. I don't know. They gave those guys the ultimatum, how you get on the plane or you can't go. But I think you got to get over there and recruit. So he needs those guys to go with him. Right. Pete Golding, he's right place, right time. So I understand why Ole Miss, they had to try to salvage that thing over there, try to keep as many coaches as they could, keep the players happy there. He's not a very good interview with the media. Maybe he's a great football coach. Your thoughts about Pete Golding getting the job permanently at Ole Miss?
I'd heard from day one that he didn't want the permanent job, that he wouldn't fill in like he's doing now. But the reason after he left Alabama, the reason he ended up there, he's got a lot of family that lives in and around Oxford. I think most of them from Pontotoc County, just up the road. I mean, that's why he went there. But he wanted just to be the defensive coordinator, make his contribution to it and remain there like that. I don't know what this will do. I don't know whether the money changed his mind or whatever. But he's there now. So that means he's going to have to hire a defensive coordinator. And I know even though they'll run his system, but they got to have somebody on the field. And football coaches you go through the drills with them every day. So, they got to bring somebody in there. He's going to have to kind of revamp the staff. I don't know how many more of those coaches will leave or going to leave that Kiffin had brought in. I know he'll probably take one or two of them. I don't know who they are right now. So they're going to have to go through, probably after the playoffs. I don't know. We'll know. I guess coming up this week, we'll know who they're going to play. But the fact is they've already gone further than they've ever gone before as far as wins and losses and garnered the attention on the national scene. So we'll just see if he can adjust or if he wants the job to stay. I mean, they've given it to him. So we'll just, we'll take – he's been – I read his resume last night, in fact. Somebody posted it all the way back to after he graduated from Delta State. And most of it had been at the lower level until he got to Alabama. And I don't know how Coach Saban found him, but he did. And I don't know what happened over there. The love affair broke out after a couple of 3 years. And, of course, he moved over to Ole Miss, and I thought he did a good job of what he had over there the last couple of years. So he's got a good football background, just not at the upper level, the top level.
Yeah, you're right about the family. They live in my neighborhood. His boys used to come to my camp, and his wife went to Ole Miss, so she's back home. That's home for him. So, Dad, go ahead.
I just can't figure out a team that loses in the playoff game for the championship. We get knocked out of going to the Final 12. And Oregon's sitting there waiting on Indiana, Ohio State to play, which is certainly a break for them. And then Alabama and Georgia having to play, and people standing there waiting on them. To me, that doesn't give you a true champion.
Well, I think that, this is really the first year with 12, and one loss, let's see. Without a doubt, they get in. The two loss, they're going to look at the schedule there, too, I think. But the three-loss team, I don't think there'll be any three-loss teams get in, Coach. Not the first year. I think they'll
be. No, you mean even if that third loss is in the playoff game?
Absolutely. I believe they'll take it across the board.
Really?
Yep. Now, after that, they may make some adjustment for strength. See, they talk strength of schedule for 5 years up there, and they never do it completely. If they did, there wouldn't be some teams that got in before. But the counter to that is those guys in, we'll just use the ACC, those guys in the ACC, all they can play is what's in the conference. I mean, regardless of how weak the conference is. They're going to have to do it. And I think that's the offsetting balance, is that, hey, we'll just cut it off. You have two, but that's it. And regardless of where you lost, if you lost the game, then your numbers just don't reflect what they're looking for right now. But see, they change that committee every year, though. You know, and that's another thing. I don't think they've still got a set of, conscious rules that they actually thumb and go by. I mean, this thing going on now with Miami and Notre Dame, and who's playing the strongest schedule back and forth, and then they shifted back and every time somebody plays or wins or loses, they obviously jump them back and forth on that. I'll be glad when they get them all set, to tell you the truth, and let's just see how it works out this year. But I am convinced that they won't take anybody with three losses.
Well, you got seven teams that are locked. And then you got the ACC champion and the non-power. So that's nine. So you only have three spots. You have three spots for these teams. Notre Dame, Alabama, Miami, Vanderbilt, Texas. If BYU beats Texas Tech, then the Big 12 is going to get two. Alabama's out unless they beat Georgia. If they have Notre Dame ranked ahead of Alabama. If you tell me Oklahoma, who beat Alabama on Alabama's field, their two losses are Texas and Ole Miss. They're going to go ahead of Alabama, even though Alabama made it to Atlanta. So that BYU-Texas Tech game, in my opinion, we'll see where they rank on tomorrow. Will they put Alabama ahead of Notre Dame? They got better wins than Notre Dame. But where I thought there was no way, I thought if you made it to Atlanta, you were definitely in. I'm backing off of that now, Max, after I look at these teams because, Georgia's in, Indiana's in, Ohio State's in, Oregon's in, Texas Tech, regardless, is in, Ole Miss is in, Texas A&M's in, and Oklahoma's in. You take the other two, the ACC and the non-power, there's only three teams left to even have a chance to get in. And so poor Vanderbilt has no chance to get in.
Well, they got two losses, and Vanderbilt's not going to play in the conference, so the strength of schedule will have to play some role in it. Now, how they disguise that, I don't know. But, to me, they're worthy. Mainly because they've come so far and they beat some good football teams this year.
They beat
them convincingly, too. It wasn't, one to one or two-point ball game. So I think we'll get a good lesson just to see how they're going to operate there the next couple of weeks, particularly with the conference games, the championship games in there. I think if that gets dissolved, if that gets some sort of an issue, I would not be surprised if they didn't recommend doing away with the conference championship game per se, just do it on one loss schedule.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I know. I know it is. I know it. That's the thing they look at. But I think they also wait before they do that. They'll wait and look at the crowds and see how the money flowed, in the 12-game playoff they've got coming up this year. They'll look at that and weigh that out. And it will come down to the money situation. And if it doesn't weigh out, the next thing that will happen is conference expansion again. You're going to start seeing two or three more teams come to the SEC. You're going to have some, I just wonder what the ACC is going to do. Because they're every year they go, they're weak. They become weaker. The schools that are playing in there aren't measured up to what the other conferences in the country have right now. Of course, the Big Ten and the SEC is going to run it anyway because of the number of teams and the quality of teams they've got. I think we talk about it every week, guys. The whole system's changing right before our eyes. We like it, not like it, but it's going to be that way. And if we're going to participate, we're going to have to grin and bear it, I guess. That's all I know to do.
Who's Penn State going to hire, Max?
I don't know. I thought they would already gone after somebody.
The signing date's Wednesday. I mean, is Kalen DeBoer really a candidate there?
See, I don't know. I mean, that's how do you know, with the I don't know. I don't know. If you're not on the inside of that kind of thing.
But you would think they would have already hired somebody.
Right.
Because the signing date's in 2 days.
But let me tell you, though, see, that signing date with high school kids is not nearly as important as it used to be. Because, you know, they take 10, 11, 12, and the rest of them's coming out the portal. And if I'm just saying, if I'm a coach right there and I find myself in that, I'll take what I can take on high school signing day. But I'm gonna put all my time and effort on trying to get those boys out of the portal and start to get 2 years experience.
Yeah. All right, buddy. What's anything for supper this week?
Well, man, listen, you know, it was Thanksgiving last week.
Yeah.
What my bunch did the other night, we did what they call just a beef vegetable stew. That took all the leftovers we had. That was mainly turkey based. We had coleslaw, corn on the cob. We cooked some biscuits. And a Wimp wanted Mississippi mud pie. That's what we had for dessert. Three layers of chocolate with pecans and chocolate between each layer and topped it off with homemade ice cream.
There you go. Thank you, Max. We'll talk about it next week.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center, filling in just a bit more during your primetime rush. If you're traveling on 43 southbound onto McFarland, that's got a long line of delays back to Flatwoods Road, but it looks like it's pretty typical stoplight delays. And also Lurleen Wallace and McFarland, that intersection also pretty jam-packed right now. We got 2059 moving smooth from McFarland to Joe Malisham. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
WTB Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles. Here's Steve DeSager.
The Denver Broncos won their ninth straight game. They're 10-2 this NFL season after an overtime win at Washington 27-26. Washington's two-point pass at the end was knocked down. The Commanders had tied the game with two field goals in the fourth quarter. Seattle shut out Minnesota 26-0. Buffalo was a 26-7 winner at Pittsburgh. The Chargers beat the Raiders 31-14, but LA quarterback Justin Herbert played through a broken left hand. He'll have surgery Monday. The Jets won on a 56-yard field goal on the final play, 26-24 over Atlanta. Coach Lane Kiffin left Ole Miss for LSU. Mississippi's defensive coordinator Pete Golding was promoted to head coach. Florida hired Tulane's coach John Sumrall. Michigan State fired coach Jonathan Smith.
He taps on his phone and that sound, that's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase Mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy and cool today. The chance of a few spotty showers this afternoon. The high 54. Tonight, widespread rain with the low at 41. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain ending during the morning hours. We stay very cool. The high 49. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 37 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Now, welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker Room. Tuscaloosa Toyota, go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. You can see all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory, schedule service, rent a Toyota. You need to order parts, everything right there at the website. You want to look at that Tundra 2.99 APR for the first 72 months. The Tacoma 1.99 APR for the first 36 months. So the Camrys, all the vehicles are in. They got a stock lot out there. Get out there today. Find Justin. Tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Morning, Barry. Morning, Coach. How are y'all?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Well, we're okay. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. You know, I want to talk Iron Bowl, and I thought it was a fantastic game. It's typical Iron Bowl. You don't know what you're going to get, but at the end, you got a great game. And I thought Alabama's offense, I know everybody goes, oh, they didn't do this. They didn't do that. Let me tell you something. Stop and think, idiot. Auburn had 3 weeks to get ready for Alabama. They had a bye week, then they had a practice game, and then a week before the game. So they had 3 weeks. To come up with that defensive scheme. And by the way, I think it was a great scheme. They had Ty confused, and I forgot who it was this morning that said it might have been Max, but they were disguising their coverages on the back end, and I thought they did an outstanding job with that. But give the offensive group credit to hang in there and find a gritty way. And don't give me that old day hurt. I don't want to hear it. It's football. You're going to get hit, and you're going to get hurt. Shut up and play. That's the end of that story. But for the most part, I thought all of them did a great job to win that game.
Were y'all surprised that Auburn didn't play Deuce Knight at all? I was.
Well, after watching Daniel...
Oh, so y'all surprised that Alabama didn't play, I mean, Auburn didn't play Deuce Knight at all after as well as he played the week before?
Once I saw Daniels and his performance, he's the one that cost Auburn the game. He's not a good passer. He was short hopping them. He was deer in the headlights, so kind of to me, and I would have put somebody else in.
Yeah, the first half, he just, I mean, he played better. They stuck with him. He played better. Obviously, he rushed for 106 yards. I just thought they would play Deuce Knight some, but they chose not to. So I'm not sure why, but he was so incredible.
Yeah, the problem when you got a quarterback that has the ability to run, it's like Joe Burrow was at LSU. Wasn't known to be a great runner, but he would kill you getting first downs with that quarterback run.
Yeah.
That's what you got to have. Your quarterback is good. Okay, he can run. Lamar Jackson, he can run out the end of the stadium. Yeah, that's right. But he always finds a way to lose. But that quarterback that gets that critical first down when you really need it, that's when a running quarterback pays off. Daniel, he ran like a deer. I thought he looked good running. He didn't get any first down.
Yeah, yeah. What else you got, Tom?
Well, I thought you'd come on there this morning and said you changed your mind about being out of the playoffs if you lost the championship game. And I never did hear you say Tom was right.
I have changed my mind, and just because I've studied it, now there's not a lot of spots left, Tom. If they're going to – now, it depends on tomorrow. Will Alabama be ranked ahead of Notre Dame tomorrow?
That's going to be the thing. You're right about that right there. And y'all's conversation about BYU and Texas Tech, I agree Texas Tech probably going to win that game. But if they don't, look out.
If they don't, you're in trouble. It's another spot.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with you on that. And because Texas is in. Win or lose, they're in.
Yeah.
But if BYU beats them, you got to put them in, don't you?
Well, because if BYU beats them, they're
done. Beat Oklahoma. Quit being an idiot and beat Oklahoma. You should have beat them by 3 touchdowns. Shut up.
Yeah, BYU. If BYU wins, they're the Big 12 champion. They're in.
What? I'm getting it. I'm getting it. And I'm saying that's automatic. But at the same time, Texas Tech's going to get in. Win or lose.
Yeah, they're in.
Yeah. That's my point. And
Ohio State's in. Indiana's in. Georgia's in. Oregon's in. Texas Tech's in. Now, Oregon hadn't beat nobody, but they're in. Ole Miss is in. Texas A&M's in. Oklahoma's probably in. Now it's down to the ACC champion's going to be in. And James Madison or one of those teams going to be in. You got three spots, so that ain't enough. Three spots for Alabama, Miami, Notre Dame, Vanderbilt, Texas. So, we'll see. Texas is out. Anyway.
Vandy's not going to go. They're out. Everybody's sick of looking at what's his name, mom. That's out. And so, another thing is, everybody, Alabama fans, run around, take it out of the committee's hands against Georgia. Have you lost your freaking mind?
I'm shocked that line's that low. 2.5. I thought it'd be 6.
Are you shocked that a fool a run around? Take it out of the committee. Are you done? God, I guess sometimes these comments drive me so crazy. And Georgia's just salivating. They wanting to kill somebody. They don't care who it is. But I was hoping that A&M was going to make it to Atlanta and Georgia would ever love and stow Elko's rear end into a mud hole.
Yeah, and I disagree with Philip. That atmosphere in that stadium is going to be tough. I know maybe Auburn a little bit louder, but that Auburn's not Georgia. You got a different animal on the other side of that ball as well. So that place
will
be.
Well, you called it. You nailed it. The roof on the Georgia Dome, whatever they call it, Mercedes-Benz, the roof on there adds to that decibel level.
Yep. Yep, no doubt. Great call, Tom. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, we'll get to a break. We'll get to Doug Bell. Look at Doug's picks. How'd that blue plate turn out?
I lost.
Oh, Chase? I thought you were going double blue plate. I was looking for it. You didn't double it, though, did you?
No.
All right, we'll look at Doug's picks as well, see how he fared over the weekend. Listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Things pumping up a whole lot more on 69, and that's on the northbound lanes at Bear Creek Road where you have an accident. And then we've also got spotty traffic here on the southbound lanes in Northport at Union Chapel Road, moving about the southbound side of Lurline Wallace at University.
Deductible donation, go online to eldridgetoyrun.com. The 23rd annual Eldridge Toy Run, December 6th in Eldridge. Special thanks to Taylor Electrical.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Guthrie's, America's original chicken finger restaurant and a proud partner in the Alabama Crimson Tide. For franchise information, visit GuthriesChicken.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. Here are post-game thoughts from Kalen DeBoer after Saturday's Iron Bowl victory at Auburn.
Could be more proud of these guys. First of all, for this game and just how resilient they were within the game. Obviously, we jumped on pretty quick early, they had some explosive plays, and I feel that's the one thing that's disappointing is we gave us some explosives, and we didn't have the explosives, but the takeaways and taking care of the football ourselves was huge. The fight and the belief You know, I think there's some teams that hope they can find a way. I think our guys really understand that they get in these spots, they're going to make it happen. And nothing's going to be given to you. You got to earn it. These guys have done that since day one. They've worked for this situational football, fourth downs, whatever it might be.
I'll have more in a moment.
This year, we honor the most important anniversary ever. An event that reshaped civilization as we know it. A day that would lead to something so flawless that nothing could ever really compare. People have tried to match it, but have failed. This year, we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Guthrie's, the home of the original chicken finger.
Just talking about it gets me all choked up.
And hungry for a chicken finger. Guthrie's, an original obsession for 60 years.
Join us tonight for Crimson Tide Rewind, live from Bob Howard's Victory Grill in Vestavia Hills at 6 p.m. Central. You can listen on our full radio network, the Varsity Network app, as well as catch a video replay on Tuesday morning on the CTSN YouTube page. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Guthrie's. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy and cool today. The chance of a few spotty showers this afternoon, the high 54. Tonight, widespread rain with the low at 41. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain ending during the morning hours. We stay very cool, the high 49. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 38 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
To Inside Locker Mark. He's get to the Yellowwood Hotline with PGA Tour Radio, PGA Tour Live, CBS Sports Headquarters, has his own podcast. He'll talk about it at the end of the segment. Joins us every Monday, Doug Bell. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Hey, Doug.
Hey, Barry. Hey, Coach. Oh, I'm doing great. Hope you guys had a great weekend.
We did. Go ahead, Deb.
Your thoughts to our listeners about the Lane Kiffin situation. Now, remember now, Wednesday's signing date.
Right. Well, that obviously, Coach, had a lot to do with the decision, although I really believe if Ole Miss hadn't have put the clamps on him, I think LSU probably would have waited, and they would let the interim coach, who's been there before for a long time, maybe do some recruiting. I don't think signing day is as important as it used to be. I think LSU would have waited till after the playoffs to get Lane Kiffin. Ole Miss didn't want him to do that. I'll say this about Lane Kiffin. You know, I watched that special that ESPN produced, The Life of Lane, and he talked about all the places he'd been and how he'd found a home in Oxford and he'd matured and life was great and he wasn't drinking anymore and he was into yoga, et cetera, et cetera. And it was just 60 minutes of sincerity. I said, oh my goodness, this was really, really heartfelt. I had a feeling that this guy had changed, but I think in the end, really, it's just a business. And I think he went for the huge paycheck. His super agent, Jimmy Sexton, worked the deal. And I think he got advice from Coach Saban and Pete Carroll, two of his mentors, who told him that if you want to win a national championship, you better move. And so that's what he did. Unfortunately, I just think he's left his players somewhat in the lurch. And we'll find out tomorrow night if Ole Miss falls. Because one of the parameters that the committee has talked about is if the coach leaves, that could affect the seeding for a team. So we'll see if Ole Miss drops. Right now they're seventh. We'll see if they drop. I still think they'll probably host a first-round game in the CFP. But, boy, and in conclusion, Coach and Barry, I'm glad it's over. I was so tired of hearing about Lane Kiffin. I'm glad it's over. And one more thought. All the stops he's been, he's never won a championship. So I think he might have won something at Florida Atlantic when they were in Conference USA. But so we shall see. And, oh, by the way, he of all the coaches, guys, all the coaches that have taken a job, they're all in their 40s. He's 50 years old. He's the oldest of all the coaches who made the move this weekend. So I found that interesting as well.
Well, you know for sure now that not only you have to be a good coach, but you have to have a good personality. if your personality is not good, if you're not kind of a bull crapper, you're in trouble.
Yeah, I don't think I agree with you 100%. And I think perhaps that affected Billy Napier at Florida, even though he wouldn't turn the play calling duties over to anybody else. But
affected the old LSU game, the old LSU coach.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, listen, the coaching carousel. Now Kentucky is going to fire Mark Stoops, so we'll see what happens there. And listen, you know, John Sumrall. A Kentucky linebacker who was the defensive coordinator at Kentucky. If Kentucky had pulled the trigger earlier, maybe they would have had Sumrall and Florida would still be looking. But it is interesting. Ryan Silverfield, the Memphis coach who went to Arkansas, he's done a nice job at Memphis, but I think he's somewhat unproven. And Alex Golesh, he was the offensive coordinator at Tennessee for 1 year and has done a good job at South Florida. I wouldn't say he has done an overwhelming job. So I think the jury is out on him as well. So, and Pete Golden has never been a head coach. So, again, guys, the jury's out on all these guys, but I guess that's always the case.
You know, Dad and I tried to recruit Keith Carter at Little Rock. We lost him to Ole Miss. He ended up being a much better college player than I think people even realized. Do you blame him for not allowing – Coach Kiffin, the coach, I mean, I think Lane's ego thought he was going to be able to convince them that even though he was going to take the LSU job, and I think they deadlined him as well, said, hey, we got to know. I don't think Lane should have let his family fly to those two places. I think that really got it kind of stirred up. Do you blame Keith Carter and the president for not allowing Lane to coach? I think Lane's ego thought he was going to be able to do that.
No, I don't blame him at all.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think their feeling, I think, was we're going to go to the playoffs. And listen, they are really, really good. I mean, they can make a serious run. And I think the president and Keith were like, why do we want him on display for national television and all they're going to be talking about is LSU? Yeah. I mean, you know, I just it was just a bad deal all around. And, you know, it was interesting. And Desmond Howard a few weeks ago on game day brought it up. And he was immediately dispelled by the rest of the guys. But he brought up the situation in Michigan in basketball when Bill Frieder took the Arizona State job right before the NCAA tournament. And Bo Schembechler fired him and said, listen, we're going to have a Michigan man coach Michigan. We're not going to have an Arizona State guy coach Michigan. And Steve Fisher came in on an interim basis, won the national title, and the rest is history. And at the time, everybody in the set said, oh, Desmond, that was years ago. That's no longer the case, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I think this is very similar to what happened back then with Bo Schembechler. Ole Miss just didn't want an LSU guy coaching Ole Miss in the playoffs. So we'll see what happens. They have retained some of the coaches. Joe Judge, who is the New York Giants head coach, he is staying with Pete, and he is one of the, you know, Charlie Wash Jr. went to LSU, but Joe Judge is a guy who's been around, and he kind of is the co-offensive coordinator. So there are some coaches that are still in place for Ole Miss.
I don't know what Lane Kiffin could have done any different. I know everybody's mad at him, but I'm not sure what he could have done differently. If they had to know it, have an answer, he's got to get over there and recruit with a signing date Wednesday. He got to take the coaches with him that are going. If he was going to take the job, and I think Nick Saban probably told him, LSU, hey, do whatever you think is right, but LSU's a better job. You can win bigger. There you got great recruiting. They're going to give you $25 million on top of the revenue share you got. You're going to kill it over there. What could he have done differently, Doug?
Well, the only thing he could have done different, Barry, would have been just saying, hey, I'm happy at Ole Miss, and I'm not going.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. But I'm talking about
– I mean, that's what Chris Beard did, the basketball coach. You know, Ole Miss threw him a lifesaver. When he went through some difficult things at University of Texas, and last year, there were several jobs, including Texas wanted him to come back, Texas A&M. There were several jobs, and again, Jimmy Sexton, even in basketball, was trying to work these deals, and Chris Beard said, no, Ole Miss threw me a lifeline, and I'm staying here, and I'm going to finish what I started. So, again, I guess there's a humanity factor, but Barry, you're right. Considering all the other factors, financial, if you do want to win a national championship, your odds are better at LSU or Florida, perhaps. So, yeah, it would have been difficult for him to say no. And on top of that, Jimmy Sexton, I mean, he's moving the chess pieces around, and it's difficult for any of his guys to say no. In fact, most of these guys who took the jobs yesterday were Jimmy's clients. Yeah. So it's pretty interesting. Yeah, no, it was a difficult no. I just, and the timing, you know, and everybody's fall back on the signing day tomorrow, right? The schedule is, the calendar is bad in college football, and it is. Even Rick Pitino spoke out yesterday about the crazy signing day in college football, and Pitino's moved around more than anybody, right? But he said, you know, you have to have the signing day after the season concludes. And Pitino went on to say college football contracts ought to be like NFL contracts. You can't move until your season is complete. That ought to just be a rule. So, but those rules are not in effect. Those are all speculative by all these guys. But I did find it interesting when a Rick Pitino steps in and starts commenting on others, because this is big time news in college athletics, not just in the Southeastern Conference, but nationwide.
Yeah. No.
Do you think it's right for Alabama to have to play Georgia and the loser might not get in and Oklahoma sitting at home?
Wow. Well, again, let me just say this. I really believe as the playoffs move forward and we're headed to 16 schools, I think the conference championship games in a year or two will be obsolete. There will be no reason to have them. And it is just a big money grab for the power conferences. That realistically is all it is, as things have transgressed here. Is it fair? Well, under the circumstances, yeah, Coach, it's fair. And we'll see what happens. I think even if Alabama loses, I think they will get in at 10-3. And I think they'll be traveling somewhere in the opening round of the CFP. And right now...
Have you studied this thing, Doug?
I don't think you'll get in with three.
Doug, I'm telling you, I've studied it. If BYU beats Texas Tech...
That muddies the water. That muddies the waters, yes.
Yes.
Yes, that muddies the water. So you need Texas Tech to take care of business. Well, I mean, ultimately, you need Alabama to beat Georgia again.
Well, yeah, Kirby's, if that happens. Yeah,
well, Kirby's 0-4 in Atlanta in the SEC championship against Alabama. So we'll see if that trend continues. And to be perfectly honest with you, I mean, yesterday it was 1.5. Now it's 2.5. So most everybody's expecting a close game going down to the wire.
But if you look at, like, Notre Dame's resume and Alabama's, why would Notre Dame be ahead of Alabama? Their only good win is USC. They lost to Miami and the two good teams they played.
They lost to Miami, and last week, Hunter, you know, the Arkansas AD, who's now the head of the committee, basically said they're not taking into account those games early in the season head-to-head. Which I think is ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I mean, how can you take Notre Dame over Miami when they're both 10-2 and Miami beat them? And Miami, by the way, has gotten hot here at the end of the year. But getting back to what Coach said, will Alabama, if they lose, will they get in at 10-3? Right now they're 10th. Coach, I think they do. I think they sneak in.
Over who, though? Over who?
I don't think a three-loss team gets in.
Because you got the Virginia Duke the Virginia Duke winners in, and then the non-power fives. Yeah. There's only 10 spots, and seven of them are locked. Yeah.
Well, I think Vanderbilt's going to get left out.
Oh yeah, they're out. Texas out. They're out.
I think Miami is going to get left out.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean Texas at 9-3. Even though Sark, I thought, you know, said all the right things after the game the other night, and they played great, they're going to get left out.
Yeah. If BYU wins, then you're in trouble. Either Notre Dame or Alabama's out.
So, yeah. So all Alabama fans ought to be rooting for Texas Tech, who, by the way, took care of BYU pretty easily when they met in the regular season. What does that mean? Well, we'll find out this Saturday, but... Yeah, no, I think, and again, will that stir controversy if Alabama loses and a three-loss team gets in? Probably a little bit, but I think you just got to look at strength of schedule, guys. My goodness.
Yeah,
man. If you compare Alabama's strength of schedule to, well, to Notre Dame, it doesn't even compare. And Miami either, because, you know, they're playing an ACC schedule.
Should Alabama fans be nervous that Penn State hadn't hired anybody yet?
Somebody asked me that today at the gym, and my answer was an emphatic no.
Why haven't they hired somebody then?
Because I think it's a difficult.
He played Kentucky last night.
Huh?
The coach at Louisville's going there.
Going to where?
Penn State.
Okay. Why didn't they hire him yesterday then?
I think. I don't know that.
Well, I think they perhaps were waiting to see what transpired. And I think now they're going to plan B or potentially plan C. And to think Penn State was the first school of all of them to fire their coach in the middle of the season. Nobody, I mean, they were the first. And yet they haven't hired anybody yet. And I thought it was interesting, James Franklin, if you look at his contract, they owed him $48 million or whatever. But that's only – that's they subtract what he gets paid now from Virginia Tech.
Somebody's telling me the Virginia Duke winner is not in. Is that true? I thought the ACC champion would get in, one of the four spots.
Yeah. No, the Power Four champion gets in, sure. Yeah. And because they were talking about that last night, Duke could potentially get in with an 8-5 record.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're in. And unfortunately, they're going to grab a spot. Yeah, so that muddies the waters there. But they did change it where, you know, a year ago, the conference champions all got a first-round bye, but the ACC champion, Duke or Virginia, will have to travel.
Yeah, last year they would have gotten a bye.
Yeah.
But they fixed that. So that's for some rule I don't know about. But I don't think if the non-Power 4 team's not ranked in the top 20, they shouldn't get a spot. You have to be at least ranked in the top 20 to get a spot. But
Totally agree. And obviously with these tie-ins, right, I mean, if we go and when we go to 16, it ultimately ought to be just the 16 best. And if somebody gets their feelings hurt, for example, the ACC, so be it. I mean, you can't have an 8-5 team in the playoffs and leave out all these other teams that are really good. That's the absurdity of the playoffs at the moment. And the team, for example, the highest ranked non-Power Four, I mean, is it going to be Tulane or somebody like that? I mean, that's just, to me, that is just a waste of time. Why you have a team like that traveling in the opening round of the CFP? It's not even interesting to have a team like that go. But we'll see how it all plays out. We're stuck.
Now, I got something here that's saying the ACC champion does not automatically get a bid to the college football playoff under the new 12-team format. Only the five highest ranked conference champions receive automatic bids. I guess they're saying that Miami would get the bid for the ACC because they're the highest ranked. I don't know. Well, the ACC is getting one team in. I do know that. So,
wouldn't that be something if the conference champion doesn't get in and yet Miami gets in?
Yeah.
Wow, that would be interesting. Barry, I need to, after I get off, I'm going to do a little research on that.
I'm
going to
send you what this guy just sent me and you can look at it. So
yeah, I want to look at that. So yeah, that's interesting. Well, I had no idea because last night on ESPN or one of these shows, they were talking about how Duke at 7-5 could potentially get into the playoffs with five losses.
Yeah.
If they beat Virginia.
Yeah. So, all right. Unfortunately, Doug, I've got to go through your picks. Actually, they weren't bad. You said take Texas plus the 2.5. They didn't need the 2.5. Texas won. That's a W. Go ahead. Give him a little applause. You said take Michigan plus the 9.5. Nope, that would be a loss.
No.
And then you said take Alabama minus the 5.5. It was a little hairy there, but that fumble at the end saved you, so that is a win.
It did get hairy.
Yeah, so that runs that record of 22-20. Don't ask, we ain't got time for you to ask Dad about his blue plate. We don't have time for that.
Don't ask about that.
And actually, Oklahoma played horrible in that game. When I watched, Alabama should have lost. When I watched that game, I was like, how did Alabama lose to Oklahoma?
I'd pick Oklahoma.
Their offense is terrible. Oh, my goodness. That's the worst offense that'll be in the playoffs, Oklahoma. And they're going to host a first-round game. But, my goodness, that offense is just – I mean, it's really – now, defensively, they're great, Oklahoma. But offensively, wow.
Oklahoma's going to sit home while Alabama plays Georgia.
Yeah, they're
going to
sit home, get well
yeah.
for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oregon's going to sit home while Indiana plays Ohio State.
Yeah, and get a bunch of their injured guys back, Oregon. Oregon could be dangerous in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, Doug, you still picking games this week?
I got three because I want to send that record to 25-20.
All right,
I got three. You ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
All right, Big Ten Championship, Indiana, Ohio State. I got the Buckeyes by 5.5. Is that what you got, Bear?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Heisman matchup here, Julian Sayin, Fernando Mendoza. Both have had great years, and that's the first full Ohio State game that I've seen all year Saturday. And, wow, Sayin was good. Threw an early interception. That was great. You know, both defenses, top five rush defenses in the country, and Ohio State has the best pass defense in the country, which was on display Saturday. Bryce Underwood, the freshman quarterback for Michigan, was 8 of 18 for 76 yards and an interception. They're really, really good. In fact, Ohio State reminds me of the 2020 Alabama National Championship team. They beat everybody by double digits except Florida in the SEC championship. They were great. Mac Jones at the time set the record for best pass completion percentage, and Sayin has beaten him this year, the Alabama transfer. Guys, I think Indiana's really good, but I think Ohio State is the best team in the country. I was totally blown away about how good they looked Saturday. I think Ohio State covers that 5.5 against Indiana. And the reason being, defensively, Ohio State is the best defense in the country.
Okay. Where else you going?
All right. Big 12, BYU, Texas Tech. We were talking about it earlier. Obviously, BYU needs a win to get into the CFP. Texas Tech, how about this? They lead the Big 12 in every category, total offense, total defense, scoring offense, scoring defense. Texas Tech, they're favored by 13.5. That's what I got, Barry, 13.5.
Yes.
And they clobbered them in the regular season. And I know crazy things happen in the playoffs. I like Texas Tech, fifth in the country for a reason. And I think they win by at least two touchdowns or more. They cover against the Cougars, and they eliminate BYU from mucking up the works as far as the playoffs and potentially Alabama being left out or whoever. So Texas Tech wins big.
All right, that'll be good. All right, what's your last
one? And finally, Georgia-Alabama, the rematch. Guys, started at 1.5 yesterday. I got it at 2.5 now for Georgia. Is that what you got, Barry?
Yes.
All right. When you look at the two teams, and Coach, I was talking to your friend Coach Donnan the other day, and he said, listen, he goes, they're really kind of mirror images of each other. The two quarterbacks, Simpson and Stockton, pretty similar. Offensive lines are big and physical but need to do a better job pass protection. Said both defenses are really good. This is from Jim Donnan. I thought it was interesting, too. Ryan Williams, no pass catches on Saturday at Auburn.
What's the deal there?
Usually, Coach DeBoer just said, you know, the packages they ran, he never was open. And it wasn't a matter of, you know, he just was out there and he played about 50% of the snaps. So yeah, I think he'll catch some passes against Georgia. I like Alabama, guys. I had him last week. You guys were.
What about injuries? Have you taken that consideration?
Well, the running back's out. Yeah, Jam's out. So that'll.
Your tight ends are out. They're out.
I like Alabama. You're
picking Alabama to beat Georgia in that playoff game.
I'm getting 2.5, Coach. That too.
Yeah, that's a pickle.
You need to go.
What about the field goal kicker last week? He looked pretty good at Auburn.
Yeah.
So he's taking some confidence pills. And I think that'll help him. And, you know, all the kickers kick better inside the dome anyway on the flat field.
Do you know the crowd that's going to be at Georgia?
I know all Alabama fans are going over. Oh, by the way, the kickers on the turf – It's like hitting golf balls off turf. You never hit a bad shot. I've never hit a bad shot off turf. That's why field goal kickers are so good inside that dome. I think this comes down to potentially a field goal, maybe a last-second field goal. I like Alabama to go 5-0 against Kirby in the SEC championship in Atlanta.
Day in the morning. Holy smokes.
I love it when you guys give me the sound effects.
I don't know what he's on, but he's drinking a lot.
I'll tell you what, Doug, you need to, if you're going to bet that game and you think out, you need to wait because by about Friday, Georgia's going to be a 5-point favorite in that game. So just wait. That line is going up, I think. So.
All right, Chase, did you hear?
Yeah, I heard.
Go ahead and post it, Chase, but you know, could change by
Friday. No, I'm saying, you're getting to an app, but if you want to put your actual money on it, wait.
Great.
Yeah, no,
yeah, the money you actually have. Would, so. All right, yeah, are we still talking about Casa de Campo?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going down, guys. December 15th, I'm flying down. Teeth of the Dog. If you go to CasaDeCampo.com, they have all these great pictures of the Teeth of the Dog, these drone shots. It's going to reopen in the middle of December. And it's a fabulous Pete Dye golf course, 7 holes, breathtaking with the ocean out on the coast there. It's great. Teeth of the Dog, and of course, there's a whole bunch of other courses there, all designed by Pete Dye, but the hospitality of the people are fantastic. It's Casa de Campo in the Dominican Republic. Go to CasaDeCampo.com.
All right, I sent you some stuff to read. Look at it. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
No, I appreciate it, Brady.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you next week.
He's a real worker. He's a real worker.
All right, let's tell him about Bryant Bank, and we'll get to break. Bryant Bank.
Me?
Yes, tell me about Bryant. Yeah, you, Bryant Bank.
Oh, Bryant Bank, outstanding bank. Whether it be personal or business account, either one, they'll do a great job with you. You'll know them the second time you're in there. If you don't know them the first time, they're interested in the surroundings of the bank as far as the schools and so forth. They're civic-minded. They will do an excellent job. You will be able to feel comfortable that your money is safe at Bryant Bank. A lot of people are getting slipping in here and trying to get people's money, and that you can bank on around the clock, online around the clock. So go by Bryant Bank. Heard him, tell him you heard it on Inside the Locker Room, and you heard Doug pick Alabama to beat Georgia. So we'll see what happens, and go by Bryant Bank. You'll be happy.
All right, we'll take this break. Do the vinegar tip when we get back. This is Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Found some trouble on Skyland Boulevard southbound right around University. That is an accident. Now moving on 15th Street in between McFarland and Lurleen Wallace. You're traveling nicely on 69 north and southbound at Skyland Boulevard. That intersection is pretty much moving at post. Well, pretty much the way
to feeling and performing better. All you have to do is stop by Game Day Men's Health at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa for a free consultation.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
The vinegar tip for this Monday brought to you by Michael McGuire State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. Go ahead with your vinegar tip.
Well, if you want to get rid of the gnats and the bugs and the fruit flies and have your gnat trap, what you need to do is mix 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar with 1. Now, get this now, y'all. With 1 tablespoon of sugar and a few drops of dish soap. Soap that you would use on a dish in a small bottle, in a small bowl. Place it in a problem area around the kitchen, around your bathroom if you hadn't flushed your toilet enough. The gnats will be attracted to that sweet solution, that sugar. And that dish soap will trap them, and down they'll go. So this is a great tip. Apple cider vinegar is a the key ingredients in doing all that. So get those nets stopped around your sink and all. That's messy as crap. And I'm telling you right now, this is a great tip.
That tip is brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Give him a call today, 205-752-8500. All right, let's get in Doug's record. There's a guy that keeps these records, Chase. You need to correct him. He's 24-21 with that 2-1 record over the weekend. I just sent it to Doug. You're 8-9. Yeah. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tony?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Tony.
Coach, you're exactly right on the apple vinegar tip. My grandmother used to do the same thing. So, Barry, I'm kind of glad you're kind of seeing the light a little bit.
Yeah.
You were, as a matter of fact, about it. But yeah. I had a bad feeling about it when I saw Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But, guys, if the committee does the right thing, Notre Dame should be dropped. And the reason I'm saying that is they should be moved down because they're not in a conference. And they've never been in a conference. And that should automatically, at this time of year, if there's a question about that and the people around them are having to go and play a conference championship game, that ought to be counted against them. And that's my opinion. And it's not. It's just simply not. And it's unlike Oklahoma, unlike A&M and Ole Miss, they will never have to play in the conference game. And those are just the facts to it. And I think that's a major issue that I see because, of course, most of college football fans and most college football people have been talking about it since the BCS, came out because they're just simply not in a conference. And it is a huge benefit for them. And that's just, and quite frankly, I don't think they played a very good schedule.
You know what? Jason Barksdale's helped me out in the show today. If Duke beats Virginia, the ACC is not going to get a team in because it's the 5 highest ranked. And so James Madison's ranked higher than Duke, and there's going to be another conference champion ranked higher than Duke. If Virginia wins, Virginia's in. So that is a little bit – I don't think people realize that. If Duke wins, ACC may get shut out if Miami doesn't get in.
Where is Miami right now, y'all?
They are 12 or 13.
I don't see how they're moving up.
I don't either. Texas is out. Vanderbilt's out. You better look tomorrow to see where Alabama's ranked. If they're behind Notre Dame and BYU wins, you're in trouble.
I agree. The AP had them at 10, I think, yesterday. Now, yeah. I don't know how much that has to play into it. But it varies just – you shouldn't be punished for it. And I'll say the same thing for Georgia. What's the benefit for Georgia playing this game?
No benefit. Benefit for them. If they didn't play, they would be in the top four sitting regardless. Home. Yeah, so Texas A&M losing killed Georgia. They'd be sitting home resting, and they would have a bye. But now, if they lost, they'd lose that bye. So
well, I know Alabama wants to win, and it does make me wonder because of what happened to Georgia last year. Will they be a little tentative? Not as far as playing hard to win, but guys, that's got to be in the back of your mind. Getting your quarterback injured in a game that really didn't matter last year, but I'm with Coach Sanderson too. You're right, Barry. It makes a lot of money, but it also if it does cost Alabama, and I don't think Alabama beats Georgia, but if we were to lose that game and then get left out, there's going to be some serious talks about doing away with that game.
Well, and also, you talk about strength of schedule. I mean, Alabama's got a win at Georgia. They've got some pretty good wins.
Vanderbilt, Missouri.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Notre Dame's got nothing on there. Really, Oregon's got nothing on theirs either, but they've only got the one loss. They got no big wins. So it's three.
Right. I know, and Coach, you're right. I know Indiana's undefeated, but who have they beaten?
But they have thrived.
I thought Oregon beat Indiana.
No, Indiana won at Oregon.
No, Indiana beat Oregon.
But, Tony, they have throttled everybody they played.
I know.
So you got to take that into consideration. I mean, they hadn't even been close. They hadn't done what Oklahoma did. Oklahoma should have almost lost to LSU this weekend with everything on the line.
I know Oklahoma's got a good name, Barry, but that's a bad loss. They're not a good, to me, they're a below-average football team.
Yeah.
Defensively, great.
Yeah.
But they will get caught up with eventually. Yeah. It's going to catch up with them.
All right, so, we got to get out.
Y'all have a good rest of the day.
Thank you, bye, Tony. Guys. All right, that Blue Plate special was brought to you by Brian Hart Construction. When you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa Beyond for over 30 years. Brian Hart Construction is your partner in industrial fabrication, steelwork, and heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big or too tough. Give them a call today, 205-759-1337. That's it for today's show. The Gary Harris Show is next. Keep it locked in. You're listening to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.